and the department chair, but chose to keep his office in the basement of the science building, adjacent to the greenhouse annex. The plants he studied there and across Sewanee's expansive domain did not demand much discourse, and that suited him just fine. I recall the first class of a senior-level plant ecology seminar when Dr. Ramseur glided into the classroom with not much more than a nod in our direction, mumbled something about wanting to show us a few slides. He dropped a carousel into the round top of the slide projector that hissed to life with lamp and fan. He reached back to flip the classroom lights off and ran through a few black and white, faded and stippled slides of some nondescript grassy field partially burned. Not inclined to loquacious explanation, we did not understand what we were looking at or the professor's intent in showing these dingy slides to us. The next class began the same way, a few decrepit slides of some meadow. We thought surely he could gather slides of better quality given the tuition we were paying for this private liberal arts education. Each class began the same way, a few slides, but over time they transitioned to color instead of black and white, and the images were brighter and busier with things like a sumac's scarlet leaves and spindly needles of a short loblolly pine and the luscious blooms of a wild dogwood. Several weeks into the class, Dr. Ramseur disclosed that we were looking at the same plot of land in western North Carolina where he had completed his doctoral work nearly 40 years earlier. And he was demonstrating to us the natural phenomenon of ecological succession. And over the course of his slideshow, we could see the remarkable transformation that had taken place in the simple meadow from the charred landscape following a forest fire to the peaceful space with tall grasses, to a thicket of small bushes, and then a stand of lanky young pines. But then the slide stopped. He moved on to something else at the start of each class. And near the end of that term, the class took a field trip one weekend to the Smoky Mountains, where we inspected all sorts of ecosystems there. But on our final day of the trip, just before we were to return to Sewanee, Dr. Ramseur stopped the van on the roadside and said, "Everybody out. Let's go see something." It was as animated as I have ever seen the man. And just off the road, some 50 yards into the forest, we came to a place where he had taken these photos for so many years, only it was no longer a meadow, but a stand of beautiful hardwoods, oaks and hickories, maples and poplars. We took out our measuring tools and recorded diameters and densities of the various plant species present. More data for the professor's lifelong study of this little plot of earth. Holy ground for Dr. Ramseur, who quietly stood off by himself before taking a few more photos to continue the story he would share with students yet to come. When we returned to class again the next week, he took us through the slideshow from its beginning in the 1950s to our trip nearly 40 years later, and we saw the connection, the progression, the propagation of a deciduous hardwood forest with dwelling places for so many plants and animals, all connected to the whole. And we had read about it, of course. But the gift of seeing an ecosystem unfold and being invited onto that holy ground with a quiet professor remains one of the highlights of my liberal arts education. I got my money's worth. Now, I've been thinking a lot about ecosystems lately. I think it's because of this global phenomenon that we are all in and the recent observance of Earth Day 2020 and this cathedral community's own commitment to eco-justice as we seek to reduce our carbon footprint. It's all bound up in there for me. And on my daily walks, I get the space to ponder such things in the midst of our beautiful Cascadian landscape here. There is a keen awareness that we are part of a whole, that the entire planet, if you will, might be considered a sort of mega ecosystem in its own right, really, all interconnected. When Jesus tells his disciples that his Father's house has many dwelling places, it's interesting to note that the Greek word for house here is oikos, from which we get our word ecos, like ecology and ecosystem. It is house. God's ecosystem has many dwelling places, an abundance of rooms for all to dwell together. Friends, perhaps that is sublime an image of heaven as there is. Perhaps it's as sublime an image of our earthly dwelling place too, the ecosystem of God's creation. We need not think this image offered by Jesus is an extraction or an escape from the realities of here and now. No, Jesus speaks these words of truth and encouragement into a room full of disciples on the night before he will be crucified. They all intuitively know he stands at a precipice, and there is a sense of foreboding. It is a crucible moment that will change everything. And surely the air hangs thick with fear and uncertainty. At best, they have dingy notions of what is unfolding, but no clear picture yet for what it means for Jesus or for them. And we eavesdrop on their conversation from our perch centuries later, letting the echoes of that exchange tilt our hearts here and now. Jesus, who is able to frame the prospect of his death within a larger narrative, invites us to do the same and says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Fat chance, Jesus, our hearts are troubled. "You can do this," he says. "You know the way." And Thomas speaks for us all his earnest, heart-troubled words that arise from a deep place of anticipatory grief. "Lord, how can we know the way?" To which Jesus replies, "I am the way." What we don't hear this morning in the very next verse in John's pivotal 14th chapter is that Jesus assures the disciples of the advocate, the Holy Spirit, that will be with them always, even if the life that they have known heretofore is about to change radically and change radically forever. Long before people who followed this Jesus were known as Christians, they were known as people of the way, pilgrims of a sort, traveling on the way together through thick and thin. That is what people of the way do. It's another seminal word for us, the way, hodon here in the Greek passage. It's a Greek word for road or path, the sort you just go out and you walk on literally. But Jesus lifts it from that flattened, mundane meaning and throttles it with spiritual vigor. A dimensionality meant to change everything for these people of the way. Not just an hour on Sunday morning, but the whole of life. A way of life, a way of being in the world. Participants in God's ecosystem in which nothing is lost, No one is lost, and there is a dwelling place for all. We are pilgrims on the road, making our way, invited to see the world as God's house, an ecosystem of radical inclusion, inviting us to take our place in it and know that the Spirit moves in our midst as advocate and companion on the way. Friends, you know the way, so carry on.